Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today, despite what the bulletin says, is not on the church calendar the Ascension of the Lord. It is the seventh Sunday of Easter. But we're Protestants, and we can play fast and loose with the liturgical calendar. The Ascension was commemorated this past Thursday. And we could have had a service, but being mainline Protestants, Congregationalists, we don't do worship during the week. So many churches, ours included, are observing the Ascension today. And we're doing that because it is an important moment in the story of Jesus and the story of the faith. Now, if I asked you to tell me about the story of Jesus, I suspect it would be something like this that you would offer. You would say that Jesus lived, and he did stuff, and then he was tried, and he was crucified. And then there was a resurrection. Now, I suspect different people here would give different accounts of what happened. Some people would say that the resurrection was a spiritual event, that the teachings and ministry of Jesus were left behind for us, and by carrying them out, Jesus is resurrected. Perhaps some of you are a little bit more conspiratorially minded and would tell me that Jesus didn't actually die, but that he was spirited off to safety somewhere. If you read Dan Brown books, that's your answer. Or you might be more traditionally minded and say, Jesus was indeed resurrected. What scripture says happened did indeed occur. Then what? Well, you might mention that there were some post-resurrection experiences. You try to explain them because you're really not sure, was Jesus a ghost or was he a person or was he something else? What did he look like? We don't know, so let's not focus on that. And then you'd probably go right to Pentecost and say, oh yes, the Holy Spirit came and jump-started the church. Does that sound right? Sounds sort of like what you'd tell? We missed something though, didn't we? And it's just covered in a couple of verses at the very end of Luke's gospel. But it's a big deal. The Ascension of the Lord. Scripture goes to the trouble to tell us that Jesus was taken up into heaven. It doesn't give any of the details. It doesn't tell us how fast he rose up into the sky. It doesn't tell us if there was a flash and a bang. It doesn't tell us if he just slowly faded from view. I suspect if you've got trouble with the resurrection, you have even more trouble with the ascension. The resurrection, you can at least say, took place in a cave. There was nobody there. And maybe you can try to engage in some sort of biological explanations. But this supposedly took place out in public, where it could be seen. And the fact is, we know a lot more about the universe today than people did 2,000 years ago. We know that we don't live under a great dome, a firmament. We know that the earth isn't flat. And indeed, even if we were amongst those who believed back then that the world was round, we know that the earth is not at the center of the universe. We know that we're just one planet surrounding the sun, which happens to be in a galaxy, which is floating around its own cluster, which is part of a larger universe, and the universe is really big. I don't know if you read the front of the bulletin this morning, if you looked at the quote from Keith Ward. If not, I'll share it with you. We now know that if Jesus began ascending 2,000 years ago, he would not yet have left the Milky Way unless he attained warp speed. Why did I include that quote? Well, first off, Keith Ward is not some Christian comedian, nor is he a cheeky atheist. He is one of the foremost scholars of religion and science in the world. For many years, he taught at Oxford. He's a man who thinks big thoughts, and theologians take him seriously. But there's something about the ascension that just seems a little bit off. Did Jesus put on a spacesuit? We begin to ask these kind of crazy questions, which sooner or later verge off into the absurd. I think part of the problem with this lesson is that we focus on these verses of Jesus ascending into heaven, and we don't pay attention to what happened before or after. Jesus taught the disciples that he had come to fulfill Scripture, that he had come to show that God's promises were real, that they mattered. Jesus did not come to overthrow Scripture, but to show it was being transformed. This story wasn't an anomaly. It was a punctuation mark. People needed to know that God could be counted on, that his promises were real. And Jesus was proof positive of that. And so he did this with the disciples. Then he was taken up into heaven. Why? Why couldn't Jesus keep on walking the earth? Now imagine if the risen Jesus were still with us here today. I think he'd be a distraction. Imagine cable news covering Jesus. Imagine Jesus with a Twitter feed. You know he'd probably have one. Jesus wanted to teach people. He wanted to get their attention. But even in his risen form, Jesus could only be in one place. So the vast majority of us would never know him. We'd know about him, but we wouldn't know him. And there would be some group of people who were able to be with him. And maybe they'd live in Israel. Maybe he'd move on to some other place. But we know how the first disciples acted. They thought they were hot stuff. And there would probably be people today doing the same thing. So Jesus pulled back, and the Holy Spirit came to be with us. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. It's inspiring us, it's moving us, it's encouraging us. It fills this church, it's in our hearts. That's pretty remarkable. And we see in this story how the Trinity works. How one part of the Trinity is willing to step back to make room for another. God's mission is to share his love with us. It's not to boost his ego. It's not to have people say what a great God he is. And anything that gets in the way of doing that mission is set aside. It shows a model for us of how the church is supposed to operate. It's not about any one individual, any one committee. It's about everyone working together. And the amazing thing is, in the wake of the ascension, what did the disciples do? They didn't stand around slack-jawed, staring up at the sky. They didn't run off writing books saying, "I was there." They didn't boast that they were special because they were included for the big moment. They rejoiced. And they went to the temple. And they prayed. Even before the Holy Spirit came, the church began to form. The faithful knew something wonderful had happened, and they wanted to thank God. Jesus had to step back, and before the Holy Spirit came, people had to get ready. They prayed. Think about that. They prayed. What are we doing today? We're praying. It's really rather amazing. Now, think about how we organize our lives or how we talk about things these days. We often seem to be really focused on politics. I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm an independent, I'm pro-Trump, I'm anti-Trump. I'm a socialist, I'm a capitalist. We talk in political terms. We organize our lives around that. We shape our commitments around that. Jesus knew that when we did that, we weren't placing God at the center. Imagine if we did. Imagine if we honestly placed God at the center of our lives, not just on Sunday mornings, but every day, with everything we did. The world would be a different place. We're curious creatures. We want to know stuff. If we've got a question, we talk to a friend, seek out an expert, we go to the internet, we find an answer. But do we look in the right place? Do we ask the right questions? We read the story of the ascension, and the first question is, where is he? Where'd he go? What happened to Jesus? But that's not the one we should be asking. We should ask, who is Jesus? And why is Jesus? For all of our knowledge, we often lack wisdom. For all the facts we have, we often miss out on the truth. The gift of Ascension Day is that we can step back and reconsider our lives. We can reconsider Scripture and what it means to us. And then we can follow accordingly. We can be the people that Jesus wants us to be. Are you ready? You want to give it a shot? I think we are. And I think we can. And the first thing for us to do would to be like those disciples. We should rejoice and praise God.